of the Lord. Yes, and then the next thing is, of course, Brother Shane asked me to preach, and I said, yeah, well, I'm willing if that's what you want me to do, so and if that's what the Lord wants me to do, I'll do it. And then he told me what the topic was, and it's be ye holy, yeah? And I went, okay. but the topic that the Lord would have me to preach this morning comes from this passage in 1 Peter. And I'd like you to turn with me, please, to 1 Peter. And we're going to start with the infamous number 13 there. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. We're just going to read those words there, the words of the Lord there. I like to do that just to give reverence to God. And then we can ask God to bless this message. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. And it goes like this: Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts and your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, or as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish, and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, but raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can come together as a church family, Father, under your blood. God, we thank you, Lord, for the salvation that you've blessed us with, and we thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being here today to gather around your words and to hear the preaching of your word, God. Father, we just pray, Lord, that you would your Holy Spirit would be able to move freely here this morning, Lord. I pray that you'd fill me with your Spirit, Father, and that through the preaching of your words, these people here would be blessed and be willing to receive what it is you have them for them today. God, we just pray your blessing upon these things today. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen. Amen. Well, I sort of started going on the track of this topic that the Lord would have us to look at this morning. And I'll just pull out my notes here. I've got them here. We see here that basically we see here a situation here where you've got Peter and he's showing us through the Holy Spirit led Peter to show us the deal that we as born again believers have with Christ. We know we had what he did for us at Calvary, and all of us here have been exposed to the gospel, I'm pretty sure. All of us understand these things that Peter have been talking about. And when I was invited to preach here, I was thinking, am I really the right guy to be telling Christians about being holy, if you know what I mean? I remember my dad had a saying. It was, son, do as I say, not as I do. In fact, it was, if I was to ask you right now, if you could think of someone who you would say, yes, I know that guy, he's holy. Who would you think of? Just have it for a few seconds. Just think about that. Is there someone that you could? You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to. You don't have to volunteer. But is there someone you can think of right now? That guy. Yeah, he's holy. And the reason why I ask is because it's a concept that we know about, we read about, we've been preached at this morning by Brother David. But it's a very lofty. It's a high aspiration. Of course, if you're thinking of yourself, That's not a bad thing. But, yeah, just have a think about that. And if you're like me, sadly, when I think of someone I may consider to be holy, I start to go along the track of people with really high standards. And generally those people have high standards for everybody else. You know, they're people that are that you've met, Christians that come to church and they're faithful, and they've often got, they seem to be surrounded by people that are not quite as holy as them, if you know what I mean. And it's a shame that I think that way. You know, many years ago I employed a guy who was from the holiness movement. And I remember we were having dinner one night, and he was trying to expound to me the Lord's Supper required alcohol in the Lord's Supper. You know, in the juice needed to be alcoholic, needed to be wine, because it had the alcohol represented the cleansing attribute of the blood of Christ. And the guy was adamant about this, and you know, he eventually embezzled some money, and it caused us a lot of trouble. And it was just another, you know, 3 days a week in church sort of guy, you know, preaching the preaching the gospel and being a disappointment. And it's quite a shame. So why, as Christians, why do we become so cynical, so quick to see the faults in others? We're talking about holiness here. And I believe the Holy Spirit has a, obviously he's real smart. He's much smarter than us. And he's used this man, Peter. Why did he use Peter? Why did he use Peter to write this this epistle here to show us about holiness? And to these verses here, verse 15, "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." Well, I reckon, you know, God knows what he's, God knows how we think. He knows how we try, but we fail. He knows we often, we're often strong, but then we fall, we become weak. He knows we are often humble, but then we become proud. Selfless, but then 5 minutes later we seem to be selfish. See, I believe that the Holy Spirit used Peter to write these instructions down because he was a great example to us of how you can be holy in spite of your faults, in spite of your humanness. I remember Peter, this man Peter here that lived 2,000 years ago. Remember, he was not merely an apostle, but he was the leader of the apostolic group here. He was an important and influential man in the early church. I mean, Peter's name is mentioned in the Gospels more than anyone else's, except Jesus Christ himself. No one speaks as often as Peter. And Jesus speaks more to Peter than to any individual in Scripture. Where am I going with this? We know that Peter, the great Peter in the Scriptures here that we're talking about, you know, Jesus rebuked more than any other disciple recorded. The only disciple who dared rebuke Jesus. Now, one thing you've got to say about Peter, he's got guts. I mean, that's pretty staunch. Peter, who denied Jesus more forcefully and publicly than any other disciple. The guy that argued with Jesus about the Lord's will. His plans to go to Jerusalem. Peter, the guy that in the garden the night that the Lord was betrayed, drew a sword to defend his Lord and cut the ear off a servant. What's the picture you're getting? Peter, the tough guy that denied his Lord. The very time that he could have had truly shown his loyalty to his Lord and denied him right at the crucial time, he could have stood for his Lord. And Peter, who alone was the only disciple Jesus addressed as Satan. This is the guy that's showing us how to be holy. Peter, the guy that argued with the Holy Spirit about dealing with the Gentiles. Not so, Lord. See, Peter's a guy that I can relate to. And perhaps you can too. See, Peter has done it the hard way. He's real. He's not a fake Christian. He's someone that we can relate to. Someone that questioned God, just as we do. Someone that argued with the God's will, just like you and me do. Someone that denied Jesus in public. Anyone done that? So how is it that God has chosen this guy, Peter, to be an apostle? But not only an apostle, but a leader, and a leader of the apostles. I'd say if this Peter with the testimony this guy's got went to, say, a missions board or was asked to be elected in a position in our church, I don't know about Pete, you know. He's got a bit of a poor track record, really. You think about it. Oh, he's got plenty of guts and go, but not so sure. Remember, Peter wasn't only a leader. He's the writer of this epistle. And he's saying here that you and me need to strive to be holy. An epistle that commands you and me to be holy. Well, the Holy Spirit inspired Peter to do this. So, because he's the sort of guy that I can relate to, hopefully you can too. Maybe we can get a few tips on how to be holy in our conduct from Peter. We read in verse 1. This talks about girding up your loins in verse 13. And be sober and hope to the end. I think it's quite neat how he's saying hope to the end. You need a lot of hope if you're going to walk with the Lord. It talks about in verse 15, be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Anyone got that? Anyone got that one, Sus? Anyone got that down? Being holy in all conversation? Well, guess what? Peter, just like you and me, had issues with being holy in all manner of conversation. It says in chapter 2, verse 1, we're just going to flick through this real fast because this is like we're just going to look for a few tips here from Peter. So, and you'll see where I'm going with this. Chapter 2, verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies, this is Peter, remember? Hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. Well. He says here, desire the word of God. Maybe that's the antidote. Desire the word of God. Check out verse 5. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Here's a tip. Offering up spiritual sacrifices. What about your relationship with the world? What does Peter say about that? Go to chapter 2, verse 11 there. I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. Do you think Peter knows what he's talking about? Could you listen to a man like that? Amen. Go to verse 16. As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Now the thing that rings through to me when I'm reading these verses, remember Peter, the hard man, the guy that had the guts to to face Jesus Christ and tell him he was wrong? Maybe Peter had a bit of a problem with pride. Maybe what I get from when I'm reading about how the Holy Spirit inspired Peter to write these words, you can see all the way through that something's happened to Peter. Something's clicked. Something's been figured out. In verse 17, honour all men. This is the guy that didn't even honour Jesus Christ. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honour the king. Even the king? Man, weren't you the guy that cut off the servant? You see, Peter's learning, and learned, should I say, to be humble, get over his pride. Verse 18, here's another one. Be in subjection. Be in subjection. 19, endure grief, suffering wrongfully. Ever get upset when you suffer righteously? It's not my fault. It wasn't me. How come I'm getting the blame? Peter knew all about that. Go to verse 20. For what glory is it if, when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. Now, that's holy. See, Peter is our example of a proud man that learned humility. I told you the Holy Spirit's pretty smart. He used Peter, the guy with the track record. Can you imagine having your testimony in print with all the things you've done wrong for eternity? So you and me, maybe in a few thousand years' time, people can use us as an example? Man. Do you go around boasting about your sins? I pray not. Poor old Pete's got them in black and white for eternity. Pretty smart. In chapter 3 here, you can see the correct attitude and conduct of Christian wives. Go to chapter 3, verse 7. Oh, that's 3. Let's go for well, that's the husbands, but maybe we're going to read that next. Chapter 3, verse 1, it says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection. What did Peter have a problem with in his ministry? When you look through Peter's track record, he seemed to have an issue with authority, with humility, with pride. But I can listen to Peter. He's not coming from a position of greater than thou. Disappointing vision I have of the holy Christian. He's talking to he's from the school of hard knocks. You can call Peter Peter's like the fallen hero guy, you know, the hero with the tainted hero, you know, the tough guy that is not quite, you know, not quite 100% perfect. Chapter 3, verse 7, likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. Give honour unto the wife. Same thing, same theme. The correct attitude. The correct attitude towards others. This chapter 4, verse 1 talks about the Christian's response to suffering there. Gives you some advice here about suffering. For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us, in verse 1 there of chapter 4, in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. That's holy. And in fact, Peter was used of the Holy Spirit to even prepare us for the judgment seat of Christ. In chapter 4, you can look there in verse 7 there. It's a manual. You want to understand holiness? Go to 1 Peter. The guy that the Holy Spirit used to pen these words was a great example of someone that learnt to be holy. Verse 7 there of chapter 4. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Watch unto prayer. Verse 12 talks about the Christian's response to suffering. See, there's something for everybody in 1 Peter about holiness. And then back at the end chapter there, chapter 5, verse 1, the elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. And then verse 9. Oh, in fact, you can read there. Let's start with verse 5, This is the need for humility, for grace, for vigilance and steadfastness. This is the recipe for holiness. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another. And be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. You see the formula? Humility. Humbling yourself. Allowing God to exalt you. You don't need to do that. Ask Peter. He was the expert. Verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Was Peter devoured? Mm-hmm. He knew what it felt like to be devoured. So what's Peter's secret? How did Peter get to write all this? The one with the track record that we all know about. See, just like Peter, God teaches all of us through experiences. Peter's failings, his backslidings, his back chat, his backseat driving is all here for us to see. So we can relate to that. So we need to cultivate this desire to be holy. We need to cultivate it. Please understand that ultimately it's God's work of grace. God has to be involved and central to being holy. See, God not only ordains the ends, but he also ordains the means to those ends. And so I want you to look at a couple of ways that God uses to accomplish his will in our hearts. He wants us to be holy. He says it here. He's not going to give you a standard that you can't achieve. If you look in the, if you're listening this morning and thinking, oh, yeah, I've heard all the preaching before, but you know, It's an attitude that I'd really not, you know, it's a lofty goal. Yeah, I have a friend of mine that he did like special services selection, and I really enjoy talking to him. And I remember he told me about the first day he was at his selection. You may know what I'm talking about. You may not. Basically, if you want to join the special forces, you they put you through ridiculously crazy, insane things to see whether you got it or whether you haven't. And he said that the instructor, he had 300 men standing in a paddock, and they had to strip naked and stand there. And then the instructor made this speech. And it went something like this. Some of you won't make it through this course. Most of you won't. And now my friend was standing there and he said, he looked around at these men and thought, man, there's some superhero looking guys looking around here. Look at that guy. Unbelievable. And then the speech carried on. And it has nothing to do with your physical ability. So he sort of went, oh. Your mental capabilities, your intellect. It has to do with how much heart you have and what's driving you. And he was right. But let me give you an analogy. The ability to make it through that training and that selection is like a life of holiness. People might go through the motions, but if there isn't something compelling them, inspiring them and driving them and captivating them and giving them the desire and the power to offer themselves up to God as living sacrifices, I guarantee they won't make it. The question is this. Are you willing? Are you willing? I'll give another example. Have you ever taught some little kid to draw? Have you ever taught a kid to draw? If you see a kid's drawing, if they're going to draw a man and they end up drawing it, it starts off at a, sort of like a potato. And then they stick a couple of legs down like these sticks, you know. And then, you know what I'm saying? And then it looks like and then they put some eyes on it. And you get this, and you're sort of looking at it going, yeah, no. And then they put, if they can spell, they put dad on the top of it, you know. You go, cool. And you're looking at this going, that's really cool, because you accept that they are kids, so that's what you expect, right? And you go, very good, Timmy. But then you say, listen, you start to draw, and you show them how to draw if you can, and you draw a man that looks more like a human than a potato. And they might look at it and go, I can't do that. And of course the answer is, sure you can. You just got to stop doing it your way and start doing it my way. And that's really the choice that you and me as Christians have. Are you going to give up your way of living so that we can learn God's way? That's what holiness is all about. It's something that we develop through time. God, if we allow God to mould us and make us, as we've sung the hymns, we've heard the preaching, we've read our Bibles cover to cover, no doubt everyone here has, probably 20 times. Now, I'm not much of a John Calvin fan, but he said this, when he's talking about heart fully devoted to God, he said this, there must be no little hidden back shop in which a sideline of business is carried out with secret customers. We can't do legitimate business with God up in the front room while we're doing business with sin in the back room. It doesn't work that way. And if you've been a Christian for more than a couple of weeks, you know that's true. See, the reality is, most of us here in this room know what it takes. We know the basics. Now, Peter knew all about that. He knew everything. Peter, he walked around with Jesus Christ for 3 years, 3.5 years. He knew all about failure and humility and beating himself up over and over again. Can you relate to Peter? I can relate to Peter. The question is, are you willing to live in the light? Are you willing to face your failures? Are you willing to strive not to sin? That's what Peter's asking us here. Now, you may be complacent this afternoon now. You may be complacent because you have lost confidence in the process. You might be becoming cynical and just going through the motions. Remember this, the key to holiness is to start with a willingness to be holy. A willingness to do whatever it takes to allow God to make you what He wants you to be. A willingness to repent and start all over. To get back to the basics. And you know what? I'm pretty sure if I asked you some questions this morning or this afternoon, should I say, about the basics, you know what I'm talking about. Reading your Bible. Oh, not reading your Bible again. Yeah. Praying, spending time with the Lord every day, and starting to practice with this willingness to serve the Lord. I want you to, I'm going to finish off with one verse here, Luke chapter 5. If you can please go to Luke chapter 5. It's one of my favourite verses in the Scriptures. And it's about our fallen hero, or our fallen hero that came good. And this is, of course, the story of Peter and Jesus Christ. In fact, let's quickly, we'll just flick through from the start, get the context here, verse 1 of Luke. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. I want you to see Simon's attitude here. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. We've done everything we possibly can, Lord. We're fishermen. We're the experts. We've done it. We've been there. We've put every calorie into this. But, what does it say there? Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. I will. It's probably the two of the most powerful words in the Scriptures. Those two words. I will. Pretty cool, eh? Now I want you to read on. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, and they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. And Simon Peter saw it, and he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. See, Peter understood the principle of repentance. He was willing. Are you willing this afternoon Are you willing to allow God to break your nets? Are you willing to allow God to make you holy?